Amen. Our text for this morning comes from our gospel reading from Matthew 22, which ends with these words, "For many are called, but few are chosen." You may be seated. Dear saints, there is only one way into the kingdom of heaven, only one way into the wedding feast of the Son that Jesus depicts for us in this parable. You must receive an invitation and be chosen. That invitation comes from God's Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel, through the preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins on account of the death and resurrection of the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This call to repentance is a call to cast off the shackles of slavery to sin and death, and to be where there is rest and life and salvation, both now and for eternity. To repent is to turn away from the things of this world and in faith turn toward God, who is the giver of all good things. However, as Jesus' parable illustrates, this invitation can be rejected. The parable presents three different ways people might refuse the invitation of the king to come to the wedding feast of the Son. First, the invitation can simply be ignored. Jesus said, "Tell those who are invited, 'See, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm and another to his business." These are those who simply ignore the invitation. They have absolutely no interest in leaving whatever it is they are doing and going to the wedding feast. They perceive that either accepting or declining this invitation is really an indifferent matter. This is perhaps the most common response to the preaching of the church. People reason that it's simply too much hassle, it takes too much time, there is too much in this life and in the pleasures of this world that I might miss if I find myself in the kingdom of God. While some simply ignore the invitation, others are openly hostile toward it. Jesus continues, "While the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them." These are those who are not simply content to sit outside of the kingdom and blissfully ignore the invitation, but actively oppose it. These are the atheists who get in your face, who clamor for freedom from religion. These are those who scream at the top of their voice, "My body, my choice." These are those who burn churches. These are those who seek to minimize a Christian presence and influence in a culture in whatever way they can. And such attacks aren't always obvious. The devil likes to play the long game. He'll work his lies into a people group or a culture or a nation for generations in hope of eventually turning that people against the word of God. The third way to reject God's invitation is probably the most insidious. Jesus says, "But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" This man appeared to accept the invitation, and he was at the feast, but only superficially and only temporarily. Such are those who appear to be part of the visible church on earth. They may have their membership at a particular congregation. They may identify as Christian when the pollsters come knocking at their door. But there is something lacking. This guest, lacked the proper wedding garment. One who appears to be part of the kingdom of God but isn't must be lacking the one thing it takes to be a Christian, namely faith. No matter what outward show of religiosity one might display, without repentance and faith, that person will be excluded from the feast. But not so the Christian. As we sang in our intro, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. One question to consider about this parable is, when is this wedding feast taking place? Is it now, something happening in the present? Or is Jesus talking about the future, when he will return in glory and will remake the heavens and the earth? The short answer is both. The kingdom of God is often described as both now and not yet. You are a citizen of God's kingdom, his holy church, now, today. The person who was at the wedding feast with the wrong clothes, he was pretending to be part of this kingdom as it exists now in time, but was excluded from the eternal kingdom because he wasn't actually a Christian. Those with faith in Christ, having been baptized into the triune name of God, however, are wearing the right clothes, the garments of salvation. The feast is now, most visibly and most tangibly, as we feast on the very body and blood of Jesus from this altar. The feast continues into your death, as you are with God in eternity, with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven, and the feast reaches its climax at the resurrection of the dead, when those who have had their robes washed and made them white in the blood of the Lamb will feast forever with our Lord. This is why we sing with the angels and all the company of heaven every Sunday, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory." And we also sing, "This is the feast of victory for our God." The kingdom is now, and we wait for its fulfillment. Jesus concludes this parable with the words I read earlier, "Many are called, but few are chosen." This seemingly simple statement gets at the heart of what is perhaps the most confusing aspect of the Christian faith as presented to us in Scripture, and that is the doctrine of election. On the one hand, Scripture repeatedly tells us that it is the Lord's desire that all would repent and believe the gospel. God wants not one person to be consigned to hell instead of heaven. And Scripture tells us that God's word is efficacious and effective, and it is the means through which God does that work. On the other hand, Scripture also tells us that not all will be saved. Some will reject the invitation. But how can both be true? Why some and not others? We're not told. The many are invited. Everyone who hears the word of God is invited to the wedding feast of the Son. But a few are chosen, are elect. We learn from Jesus' parable that those who are not at the wedding feast received an invitation, but they were excluded by their own choice, an intentional rejection of the invitation of the host. On the other hand, those who are attending the wedding feast are not there by any choice of their own, but purely by the invitation. They were invited, called, and chosen. This is a great paradox, but the doctrine of election The doctrine of being chosen by God is intended to be for you, the Christian, a great comfort. You are here in the presence of God, here at the wedding pre-feast, if you will, because God chose you to be here. As Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And so Jesus' parable serves as both a warning and a comfort to his church. The warning is to be on our guard, to pray that God would guard us from indifference toward his word, to guard us from animosity toward his law when we hear it, to guard us of the hypocrisy of only being hearers of the word and not doers, to pray that God would continue to send faithful servants to invite to the feast and feed those who are here, and to pray that we would receive and respect those with spiritual authority. And this parable is also a great comfort. On the one hand, we're comforted to know that Jesus is well aware of the challenges we face as Christians in his church. We should not be surprised at indifference or hostility toward God's word, and we needn't be overly concerned about those who only appear to make a show of their faith but aren't actually Christians, because God knows what's in the heart. He will take care of it. And we are comforted by our being chosen, chosen by the King. We have been invited to the wedding feast of his Son, and so here we are. Today we have heard his word, which he promises will be at work in us. In a few moments, we will feast on the nourishing food of Christ's very own body and blood. And those who believe and are baptized are chosen by God to be his own, both now and at the marriage feast of the Lamb, which has no end. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.